I just want people to understand that if they actually put in the work and they actually take their ideas and execute on it,
yeah,
and they're smart about some of the decisions they make, they can do very well for themselves. They don't have to be working at a 9-to-5 job that they hate for the rest of their lives, feeling like, I'm never going to get out of this. I can't do it.
You're listening to the Christoph Lewis Podcast, a podcast where I have conversations with inspirational people. My name is Chris, but my family calls me Christoph. My goal is to have as many conversations as possible with people who have forged their own path by pursuing their dreams, making them a reality, all the while emitting positivity and sharing this knowledge with others. I seek these people out and share this information with you, proving to the world that you can do what makes you happy and do what you want for a living while being a good human being. We'll talk about careers, but we'll also cover any story that inspires. Let's do this while helping each other. Thanks for listening. I'm happy you're here. What's up, my friends? Welcome to conversation number 74 of the Christoph Lewis Podcast. I'm so excited that you're here. I mean that. I truly do. My guest today is the one and only, the great and powerful Mr. Beav Brody. He is the founder and CEO of Tactical Baby Gear. It's some of the gear you guys have seen me wear and post and just have fun wearing because it's tactical baby gear. It's gear for dads that look awesome. It's like I have a military background to be able to rock some of the stuff that looks like that. It's so cool and it's awesome. He definitely tapped into a market that was 100% untapped. So he's a great guy. He's very down to earth and he's just a very generous, giving creator and a helper of all people. I can't wait to share this conversation with you. And you can find this one and all the other conversations and the contemplation episodes on christophlewis.com/podcast. So without further ado, welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited about it.
I'm equally as excited. I was just telling you, we had a phone call a couple weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago now, but
It's been a little while. It's gone by fast though.
It's crazy how fast it goes. And I know like you are super engaged in like all multimedia, social media facets. And I think when you're just like constantly got your head down doing a bunch of stuff, trying to see like how much you can do, like you kind of forget like, wow, I got to pick my head up. Like this time is just whizzing by, but I loved our conversation. Yeah. And I'm just so pumped to have you on here today.
Yeah, dude, for sure. I'm super excited about it. Like you said, it's like, it's so funny that it's been several months since we first connected and it's like when we scheduled this, it seemed like it was like 6 months away.
It's always how it is.
But yeah. Here it is, you know, it's like, it goes so fast.
It's so funny. Yeah. And I think the funny part, at least from my perspective, is I bought some of your stuff. I bought your front carrier for the kid. I bought the backpack, which is the, obviously the diaper bag and everything. And I just think it's so funny how we live in a day and an age where I buy some things. I really like those things. I see who built these things or created these things, is selling these things. And then I reach out said person, and then now I'm having a podcast with this guy. And I just think it's such a powerful time to be alive.
It's so rad. The internet has allowed for so many things to be capable that weren't capable before. It's created so many opportunities for people that maybe wouldn't have had an opportunity otherwise.
Yeah.
And I think that it's just amazing. It's fascinating. It's an interesting time to be alive.
Yeah,
and what's really interesting is, it creates those opportunities. So there's no excuse for people to be complaining about what they're not doing or what they wish they were doing.
100%.
When there's so much opportunity at their fingertips.
100%. And I think the more that I apply that mentality to myself and I stop feeling sorry about myself or for myself for not being able to go where I want to go, I take a step back and I go, holy shit, I say things like that to myself. And I was like, dude, you literally have everything at your fingertips that you could possibly need. Like, the amount of opportunities that I have is like literally infinite. Like there's no way I could consume that much information in the time that I have to live. If I lived a healthy life to 100 years old, I would never be able to consume that amount of information. So the issue is like now I have to filter that information, right?
Right. It's being pushed at you from every direction.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I want to know, I always ask people, I'm huge on career transitions and what did you do before you started this? And like, I want to know one, what you did before and then like kind of how you shifted into what you're doing now.
Right. So I think we'll establish for the listeners. So, you know, my company is Tactical Baby Gear, right? So that's what you want to know is what I was doing before Tactical Baby Gear. And I was building custom cars and I was, you know, real deep in the automotive industry, and I built like world-class custom cars. We set a world record at Barrett Jackson.
Wow.
We built real high-end Land Rover Defenders for some celebrities and big name people like that. And then, I don't know if you can share all these notifications dinging in the
background. Popular guy. I was like, my phone goes off like 10 times a day. That's it.
So, and I even like turned on Do Not Disturb. I apologize, everybody. So I was building these high-end custom cars. And amidst that, I started a family. And I had one daughter. No big deal. Everything's cool. And then my wife gets pregnant again. And we find out we're having a second daughter. And I was like, Ooh. Oh, man. Like, I just knew at that time that meant that I had to carry the same purple diaper bag that I carried the first time. Because I was super hands-on. Like, I'm a hands-on dad. I was doing it all. My wife was working a full-time job.
Wow.
Not getting off till 10 or 11 o'clock at night.
Wow.
And so that meant I was picking kids up from daycare.
Yeah.
I was bringing them home. I was feeding them. I was changing the diapers. I was putting them to bed. I was like, so I carried the diaper bag more often than she was.
Sure.
But I was carrying the diaper bag that she was gifted at her baby shower, that was like this really girly, flowery diaper bags monogrammed with initials all over it and stuff. And I was like, so the second time I was like, I got to carry that thing again.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to. And I was like, all right, I'm going to buy myself a diaper bag this time, because clearly I'm using it more than she is.
Sure.
So I went to Google and I started searching like men's diaper bags and things of that nature. And nothing exists. There was just nothing for this. Is back.
That's crazy. It seems like crazy
early
now.
2013.
Yeah.
So going back 6 years, 6.5 years, there was just nothing for dude. Like, there were some gray and black versions of like typical diaper bags, but it still just looked like a diaper bag. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just looked like I couldn't handle it. So while also being into the automotive industry, I was real big and still am still big into the firearms gear community. I was doing a lot of firearms training, tactical training. I got a lot of family in the military, friends in the military, law enforcement. So I was just real big into that world and that community. And that's the kind of gear that I was carrying on a regular basis.
Anyway,
a lot of EDC stuff and things of that nature. So I, after I couldn't find a bag that like really fit my personality and what I wanted, I decided I would make one, because we did upholstery in vehicles as well. So I knew how to sew.
Okay, there you go.
That sort of stuff. So I made a bag, and at that time I was like, wait a minute, I'm not the only guy like this.
Yeah.
All of my friends would prefer this bag as well. And so I was like, that was like that light bulb moment of, holy smokes, I could turn this to a business.
Yeah.
And so that's when I was like, tactical baby gear. That's it. It's brilliant. So like immediately straight to the internet, I start researching tactical baby gear, thinking maybe I'll find something else. Nothing even close.
That's
so
crazy.
I was like,
what
all
a
right,
moment.
I'm 100%. I'm going all in. I'm doing this. So I was like straight to Instagram, created tactical baby gear, straight to Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Like, I went to all those social networks and locked up all those handles.
Yeah,
and
that's
then
smart.
I went to
Super
Zoom,
smart.
Went to LegalZoom and like created an LLC. Like, right. So like by the end of the night, I had like full blown locked up everything, domain names from GoDaddy. Like, I went all in for like 5 hours, just like
that's nuts,
doing all the things related to starting a business. And that was like how it started. And then,
yeah. Wow.
And then I just started posting stuff on Instagram.
Dude, that's crazy. It reminds me of another guest that I had, or she was the inventor of the, I'm going to butcher the name of the bag, but it was the first compartmentalized purse for women. And she had an issue when she was at, Jen Groover. She had an issue when she was like checking out of a store or something, and she's like, this is bullshit, I can't find anything in my handbag. And then she's just like, I'm gonna compartmentalize this. And she just built it, and because she saw an issue and she created it, and that's clearly what you did. And then
solving a problem.
And then like looking in and being like, you first look in and then you look out and be like, I'm not the only one that deals with this shit. There's got to be other dads,
right?
And clearly there's a market 100%. For that.
Yeah, obviously. It turned out it was a good idea.
But what separates you from everybody else that has a badass idea that goes, oh, you know, it would be really cool. But you immediately, you said you spent 5 hours like taking care of everything.
I actually executed on it. There's so many people that have come up with an idea that are good ideas, but they don't do anything with it. And they just sit on it. And then someone else has a similar idea a year later.
Oh, I thought of that 5 years ago.
Like, oh, my idea. Yeah. And it's like, hey, if you weren't playing Call of Duty all night, it could be your business right now.
Like, how hard was it, really? How hard was it to go out there, create these social media, handles on these platforms? It's not hard. You just go out there and then you start moving forward.
That stuff isn't hard. It's the work you have to put in after that and actually execute on the rest of it, right? Like, creating something and putting an idea down on paper is easy. That's the easiest part of all of it. It's actually executing, following through with the execution, and then trying to grow it and build it into something more than it is, and just going day by day, like dragging yourself through the mud because it's not going the way you want it to, and then you're expecting to make $1 million tomorrow and it's not happening, so you get discouraged a little bit, and but you have to keep going. That's the hard part, is is pushing through being discouraged because you're expecting results faster.
I struggle with that daily. I struggle with that today. I just had a conversation with my wife today. I've been doing the podcast for a year. It's 0% monetized, but I'm still doing it. And I think that's a lot of things. Like, I completely agree with you. People don't realize that. Number one, and I've heard you mention it before on a on a YouTube video, you have to, and it's as widely known, but you said it too, and it struck a chord with me. Like, you have to love what you do. And I love having these conversations. Like, how cool is it that I can sit down and pick your brain right now for 30 minutes? Like, that's badass. So I'm not going to stop, you know?
Right.
If it gets monetized, awesome.
Right. But what you're doing right now is building an audience, building a community, gaining knowledge, building leverage, and eventually you'll be able to monetize it in some way, shape, or form. And maybe it's not through the podcast, but you might develop a product, or you might come up with something, or maybe somebody actually wants to sponsor it, and then you cash in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like, you're not asking for anything from anybody right now, so you have all the leverage.
Yeah. Absolutely. Do you know why, like you said, everybody has these great ideas, but not a lot of people act on it. Is there something that set you apart? Like, why did you choose to act on it and not just like sit back and like just not do anything?
Seriously, yeah. The grind of like building something like more than anything, which is, I think I like problem solving. I like building something from the ground up, which I think is why I did so well in the automotive industry. Like my love for cars,
definitely see
but
that.
Then problem solving. Yeah. So whether it was like fixing the car or figuring out how to make this custom piece of it work or designing something and then starting from nothing and ending with something like that was like just the, it's gratification. It's the coolest shit in the world.
It's so like, great. Such
I
a great
made
feeling.
That, you know? And then when I had this new idea of a tactical baby gear, it's like, ooh, I get to start over again. I get to start from the ground because and not to say that when I started it, like my automotive career hadn't been booming. Like my automotive career really started to like really take off around the same time that I started Tactical Baby Gear.
That's interesting.
So it was only like 2 years ago that I quit working on cars.
Yeah.
But it's because I had so many in the progress that I was still building. And it, you know, it takes 9 months to build something.
Sure.
A lot of times 6 or 9 months to build a car. So like it was... I was like, well, I've got like 3 or 4 cars to finish. So I can't just tell these customers, too bad, sorry, I didn't finish your car. It's halfway built. Like I had to keep that going. So I still have my automotive shop today.
Okay.
Like we don't work out of it and it's not really an operating business, but I still have it. And like we just eventually quit building the cars and I started spending more and more time on tactical baby gear. And as I could start spending more and more time on it, it grew. But really got out of cars at the peak of it when we set a world record and you know we're doing all it was crazy and that was a wild ride in itself but it got really exhausted to that industry and I was just burnt out physically too. I mean like that business, that industry isn't terribly lucrative. Like I didn't make a ton of money. I just did it for the passion. I loved it, you know, and then, like you were saying before, you got to love what you're doing. Like I loved what I was doing. So I didn't care that I wasn't making a lot of money doing it.
Yeah.
And I started making more and more money, but that passion for it is just what gave me the energy to keep going and working from, you know, 6, 7 a.m. to 2 a.m., like all hours of the night and get asleep for 4 hours and get up and keep going. So, but to really answer your question, like, why did I continue? Why did I really keep going with tactical baby gear? And I just loved like the fact that I was starting back at the bottom and had to work my way up.
So that's crazy. That's
and it was something, and I was getting some gratification and some results out of it. And the people that were like this is so cool. This is awesome. Oh, my husband loves this.
So much.
Or he wasn't excited about being a dad. And then I got him this diaper bag and it was a whole new excitement. And like knowing that you were like,
that feedback,
like helping
so good.
Other people.
Yeah.
It was like the craziest thing. And you know, like you bought the gear, you're a customer.
Yes.
It gives you a different level of excitement than you would have had before. Not to say that you don't love your kids or you don't want to be an awesome parent. It changes.
Beav, I brag about my baby gear now. When has that ever been a thing for the history of men? You know what I'm saying?
Never. It's crazy. It's the craziest thing to me in the entire world.
Like, I got a drop zone. I get to change diapers on my drop zone. Like, this is badass. I'm like, you guys have to check this shit out.
It's so bonkers to me that the level of excitement that dads now get. So that was a big motivator.
Well, you're not reinventing the wheel. That's what's beautiful about it. You know, you're not creating something new, really. You're having an existing product and you're making it way better and you're targeting it for a specific person.
Right. We created a market that didn't exist. Apparently it existed, but it wasn't tapped into, right?
So sure. That's a good way to put
it. We created something that didn't exist in that term, in that sense, but like, you're right. It's like we just kind of reworked the typical diaper bag.
Yeah.
We created a market that didn't exist and we're now getting dads more involved than they ever have been.
Yeah.
So it's super been crazy.
Cool.
It's exciting.
Well, there's a lot of good points that you said there too. I mean, gosh, so one of them is that you didn't just cut the first thing off. You didn't cut the automotive part off and just start with tactical baby gear, which I think a lot of people maybe think about that. You had a segue into that. I think you said like you started tactical baby gear in like 2013. Is that correct?
Right.
Yeah, 2013. And then like it's only been like 3 years since you stopped the automotive stuff, I think you said too. About
two and a half, three years.
So like that math is that it was a slow decrescendo for one, a slow crescendo for the other one. I think that's a really good point. And I think it's really interesting that you left at the peak of what you call you working in that automotive shop, because I think a lot of people may be like, well, I don't want to give that up because it's finally doing so good. But already
financially, it didn't make sense for me to be working on cars anymore.
Okay. Like, okay. Well, I guess that helps. I guess that helps. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, it wasn't worth my time to do it anymore, it was another exciting factor of like, holy cow, I'm making a lot more money selling diaper bags than I am working on cars. But the cool thing is like, because we were making more money, it's afforded me the opportunity to keep my shop. So I still get to have my little passion projects and go to my shop and play with cars because I still have that passion. So I haven't completely lost it. I got rid of it as a business.
Okay.
Which makes it more fun again, too.
Because
as soon as it's
a
business,
point.
It takes a little bit of that fun out of it.
There's
a lot of pressure. There's all these bills. There's customers to make happy. There's timelines you got to meet and all this stuff. As soon as it's like a hobby again, it's really
it's totally
fun.
Different. Yeah, and I think it's really cool. So that's a good point. And it's you're just a creator. That's what I get out of. There's a lot of things to get out of this, but you're a creator. Like you said, you like to build things. You built cars. You wanted to build the bags. And it's even cooler to me that you took something that you already knew. Like you knew how to do, I'm going to butcher this, but the seam part of it, like the, you know, sewing shit together.
Yeah,
the upholstery. And you took that from something you already knew and you applied that to something new. So I think that's like something, I mean, there's a plethora of good points to take away here for the listener. But I think like, what do I know and how can this contribute to what I want to do? Like there may be nothing, but there very well may be something that you can kind of pull out of your everyday life and help you get where you want to go.
Yeah. And I'm constantly taking, like, I've got so many other little products and ideas and brand ideas that I want to do because, you know, again, with my shop, I still have all of my machines and lathes and I've got another little fun gadgety project for a whole completely different industry that I've been like teasing in some of my personal vlogs
as
Project X. And I haven't had a chance to really mess with it recently, but I'm staring at it on my desk over there and it's like calling my name. I really want to mess with it. But it's like, I'm constantly tinkering and trying to like, I want to do something new and else. And like the beginning, the early stages of it, the early grind and staying up all night and trying to figure it out is so exciting to me.
It is. It is.
And that's, you know, part of why, like I started my personal brand where I'm trying to help everybody. Like I get to start at the bottom where I don't really leverage that. Like I've built this big business, as me, like if you've watched any of my personal content on my personal brand stuff, none of it is, I'm like, look at what we've did on tactical baby gear. I'm just like, here's some good ideas. Here's things you should be doing. If somebody wants to figure out who I am and research it, then cool.
So
that's fine with them. But I don't exploit that to try to like brag about anything. Mm-hmm. I just want to help people, and hopefully they see that like, oh, this is what he's done. It's probably worth paying attention to him.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up. And I'm very glad you brought that up, because one of the things I ask everybody that comes on the show, I go, well, you could have, okay, so you create a tactical baby gear, very successful, tapped into an untapped market, you created your market, could have stopped right there. It could have stopped there. You could have just continued to like do everything you possibly could to make that the best brand and the best anything you wanted to ever make. But you just told me what you just told me, and that was you help other people. And I like to ask people, like, why do you choose to, you could have stopped just when I asked the question, like, what got it from an idea to actually creating it? So what got it from you to just not be somebody who has this company and you're like, let's take it a step further and let's give back. Let's help other people. What separated you there?
A multitude of reasons, right?
Like, yeah, sure.
I want to give back because like, I just want people to understand that if they actually put in the work and they actually take their ideas and execute on it,
yeah,
and they're smart about some of the decisions they make, they can do very well for themselves. They don't have to be working at a 9-to-5 job that they hate for the rest of their lives, feeling like, I'm never going to get out of this. I can't do it.
That's like, why I do this, man.
Like we talked about this before. Like, yeah, you have the internet, it's on your phone. You have all the opportunity in the world right here. So if you have an idea and you can implement it through the internet, you can do it. And you can get out of that job that you hate and get out of the life that you're not happy with and do something for yourself if that's the path you want to take. There's so many reasons, just so many things, but it's like, and then I get to start over with a new project, like my personal brand of like helping people and just
so kind
of build that up and learn really other things along the way, implementing things. And I'm doing it at no cost and with no expectation from anybody watching or listening. I don't care what they do with the information. I mean, I hope they do good things with it, but I don't care. I'm not trying to monetize it. Like you said, I'm not monetizing my podcast. I'm not monetizing my YouTube channel. I don't charge people to come take a sit down and get some advice if they're trying to start up. There's plenty of businesses that have reached out to me, and I do consulting and I charge for that. If they want my time during their time, I charge for it. But sure, if it's like, hey, you guys can get all that same information from me if you just watch all my videos, it's not going to cost you a thing. Like, I'm not trying to take money from people to educate them, to help them. But it's like you're doing. I was like, but at the same time, I'm building leverage, mm-hmm, because I also know that my business that's currently very successful could also go away tomorrow.
Yes.
And then what do I have?
Yes. Yes.
You know what I mean?
That's
so,
a great mindset.
And that's happened to me. Like in the automotive industry, mm-hmm, I started my business in 2003. And then the recession hits in 2008.
Sure. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, nobody's fixing their cars anymore because they don't have money. You know, and all these kinds of, and I was in the custom car business back in when I started 2003, 2004. And then all of a sudden people weren't really spending money on their custom fun lowering kits and rims and, you know, engine, you know, modifications and more, mm-hmm, horsepower. Like,
yeah,
they just needed to make their car payment at this point, you know?
Yeah.
So that was like, oh shit, what do I do now?
Yeah.
So I had to get like shift gears again from custom stuff back to service, maintenance, repair, and doing brakes and oil changes, and at least keep these people's cars on the road so they could try to get to the job that hopefully they still have, you know? So,
yeah.
And it's all been like, I've lost it all before. Like there was a point in probably 2012-ish where I was so dead broke. I had just gotten screwed on a huge business deal and lost like 50 grand. It was like,
Jesus,
everything I had gone. And I had to go back and get a job working for someone else because I had my second daughter on the way.
Sure.
And like, it was just the craziest stuff was happening all around. Oh, maybe this is my first daughter.
Yeah.
I think it was my, anyways, it was like the craziest stuff happening at the same time. And like, I had to go get a job because I didn't know how I was going to put food on the table or gas in my truck. And I've had it all. I've lost it all. You know what I mean? So I don't want that to happen again. So for that fear of like having all my eggs in one basket makes me want to diversify a little
100%.
Bit. And it's kind of like an 80-20 rule. Like I put 80% of my time and effort into tactical baby gear and like 20% of my time into like building leverage somewhere else.
Sure.
And I don't need to, you know, do anything with that leverage at this point, but when I need to, hopefully I can, but I don't have any expectations of it either. So, you know, there's so many facets to all of it, you know?
There really is. And one of the things I got out of that is like you held up your phone again for people listening, and like there's no reason not to do why you want to do or what you want to do. And one of the things I have clearly everybody that listens to this on a regular basis, I have all these conversations with my wife all the time, because like we're a freaking team, man, and we're like trying to do this shit. Yeah. You know, like I'm like, all right, we're in a super comfortable place right now, we can pay all our bills. But one of the things that like I thought of immediately when you said it is like I have a scarcity mindset, because I've had little to no money and I've been broke living in the red, like of my debit, not my credit card, my debit card. So yeah. My checking yeah. account was in the red and I was borrowing money from the bank. Like that was me Bending. For years. And that's not just, I had a job, but I was such a shithead at like saving and investing. And I just didn't have the mindset that I have now. So because
right.
of that, yeah,
100%.
I got this like scarcity mindset. And I'm just like terrified. Like I have a good job. I'm still working for somebody else, but I'm like, and I have like these other streams of revenue, but I'm like afraid that they're just going to poof, like disappear. So like, God. I'm like, it's just crazy. Cause you said the same thing and
so,
it happens, man.
Something I, because it's been so bad before in the past, like you're living in debt, like no actual real cash to your name. You owed people money.
Yeah, nothing.
And you still managed to get by. For me, it's kind of like perspective, you know, like I know now, like I'm in a good place. There's things that happen throughout the day that would have normally like completely ruined my day. But I'm like, whatever, it could be worse.
It could be. Yeah, it's crazy. It's
like,
it's
I don't
crazy.
Sweat the small things anymore because I've had it so bad.
Yeah.
And right now I'm like the dumbest shit could just, it's almost impossible for me to be like, actually stressed out anymore, because
yeah, that's why I don't wish bad things to happen to people, but more times than not when I see things that or I see people that haven't had that much relative stress in their life and something comes up, like how are you gonna react, man? If you don't know how you're gonna act, like that's gonna be, you're gonna crumble a lot easier than like we were saying, like, and I just use myself as an example because I literally, like I was told, you living in the red and it sucks. Like, and I know that I was super stressed out and I had tens of thousands of dollars of medical bills at the time because I shattered my arm snowboarding, like, and I had no insurance because my job the month before had taken me from full-time to part-time because I couldn't get enough hours, which wasn't my fault. So then I didn't qualify for medical insurance and I broke my arm. Like, I fucking know, dude. I know it can be shitty. So that's why, like, it's so ingrained in my head right now.
People that are already stressed about stupid stuff, they're like, what are you going to do when something real happens?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, hopefully
so
that's a learning point.
Your time
for
in
them.
The military, you were in the military. What
yeah.
branch were you in?
I was in the Navy for 9 years.
What did you do?
So I put it in layman's terms, is like a combat radio telephone operator. So by profession specifically, it was an electronics technician, but that they can literally do anything in the Navy pretty much. But I was in naval special warfare. Yeah. And I ran around with an antenna on my back and helped people do. Yeah. Pretty much. That was me.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, because there's a lot of things that I learned when I was doing a lot of like tactical training with some high level, like military guys, and playing around. But it really taught me to think under stress, like hardcore.
Yeah,
did you get that out of the, like, there's like so much stress, but you're very clear headed about what's happening around you. And you don't let that stress like affect the decision making.
Yeah. So I say this to everybody, specifically in the military. I mean, anybody could use it. I don't give a shit if you're in the military or not, because you're saying it yourself, but you can go two ways. You can either crumble, like we were saying, under that stress. Or for me, in my mind, I didn't have an option because people's lives were on the line. And I was not just the RTO guy. I was also the network guy. So I had multiple jobs and I had to juggle these jobs under sometimes incoming mortar fire before I went out to go do things at night. I had so much stress that there's just... It was so important in my head, and it was actually so important in actuality that there was no freaking option for failure. Like,
right.
People will say, well, we could still fail. No fucking way. Like, it was not happening. And that was stressful. Things would break at the worst time ever. And talking about leverage, like, I leveraged. That's how I got my current job. I leveraged. I don't know anything about what I do right now. When I initially got there, I learned a little bit. I taught myself, I'm not even joke. I work in IT. People know this. I work in IT. I taught myself a little bit of Linux, but I leveraged the experience in my military career to show them that I can work under stress, number one. And number two, which probably is over number one, is that I'm coachable. You can teach me any of the tech shit you want to teach me, but am I coachable? Am I a hard worker? Do I have integrity? Yes. Hire me. That's it.
Right, right. Good for you, man. That's awesome.
So that's what I'm trying to teach people, man. And it's, I just, like I said, I hope people don't go through tough times, but part of me really does. Like, I hope you do. I hope you do.
Well, dude, tough times teaches you a lot.
You're not going to learn lessons from easy times. It's just the plain and simple fact of it.
You know, when I interview people on my podcast, I always ask them, you know, like, and most of the people have gone through some hard times, you know, and it's like, how much of the adversity that you went through, how much of that gives you motivation to do even more in the past, or like try to prove people wrong.
You're
like,
damn right. Absolutely.
You did this or that, or you were homeless, or they told you you couldn't do that, or you were in prison for this. Like, how much of that is like you just trying to show the world, like, yeah, that happened. Watch this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You're like my 70 something person I've talked to. It's insane. And I don't know the percentage, but it's pretty darn high. Most people have gone through some kind of serious shit in their life and made something of it. And because of
it motivates them.
Yeah. And then the other people, I guess, that choose to go the other direction, you know, for better or for worse, I haven't talked to them because, you know, God knows what they're doing, but I'm just saying, like, you know, if, and I would love to talk to somebody like that. I don't subscribe to talking to people like that because I want to highlight people like yourself that are going out there that you said you're going out there, you're a creator, and then you want to share it with people. I don't want people to just, yes, I want you to go and I want you to do what you want, but I don't want it to stop there. I want you to do what, you know, I'm trying to do, what you're trying to do, what I would say 100% of the people that I've talked to want to help other people out. And that's what you're doing right now.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that. The other side of that too is, like, as you said, I'm a creator, which I, you know, as I become more and more self-aware of myself, I'm definitely a creator at heart. I have a business mindset and a very entrepreneurial spirit, but I also couldn't do it without, like, my business partner, for example. Like, we wouldn't have grown Tactical Baby Gear what it is.
No, that's a great point.
Now, without him, so you have to also be aware of, like, be self-aware of yourself and what your strengths are, but surround yourself with other people to kind of help fill in with those weaknesses so that you got, like, just a solid foundation to kill it.
Absolutely. And that's a great point to end on. There is no way I could have gotten to this point in this podcast without, I mean, tens, if not hundreds of people. First of all the people that have graciously given me their time for the podcast, the friends and family that were the first 9 weeks of the podcast that took a risk on me. Like, the list is endless, and you really can't do it by yourself. And
you can't. Anybody that thinks they can, like, they're just holding themselves back.
100%.
So I would encourage anybody listening that's trying to accomplish something to get a team of people around you that can help.
Yeah, absolutely. Beef, man, I've thoroughly, thoroughly appreciated your time, enjoyed my time with you. And, man, just like the phone call we had, it was great. This was phenomenal. A wealth of information. Where can people find you in Tactical Baby Gear?
So they can find Tactical Baby Gear most places on the internet. Instagram, Facebook, YouTube is all Tactical Baby Gear. Twitter, Pinterest, all, you know, tacticalbabygear.com for the store. And then my personal brand that we spoke a little bit about is beavbrody.com. That's BEAVBRODIE.com. And that'll get you to, like, all the Instagram, YouTube, all that kind of stuff.
All right, Beav, like I said, man, I really do appreciate it. Have a great rest of your day, man.
You got it, man. Thank you.
See ya.